Leanne, before you get too comfortable, Leanne, sorry, you're in the middle of a conversation, I'll move over. Mike, could you do me a favour? I've got some bits of card. I've come with resources. I've come prepped. This is very out of character for me. I'm not usually a crafty person. This is as crafty as I get. We've got some card and some pens. Would we be able to just everyone get hold of a pen and a piece of card for in just a minute's time? It's good to be here this morning with you. As Leanne said, my very good friend Leanne, and colleague actually, I'm Jamie, I run Greenwich Food Bank, I'm part of a wonderful staff team there, and we've got over 170 volunteers that really make the thing work. I also worship just up the road at St John's Church, which you may know up at Blackheath Standard. So I'm going to throw in a bonus announcement, in fact, I'm going to tack on to an announcement about this evening, and I was going to invite you guys to something at St John's as well. So the announcement is, obviously, Mike's preaching tonight over at St John's. I happen to be leading the service. That's not important. We're just very happy to have Mike preaching. I just want to say, at the evening services at St John's, which are at 6, and that you're really welcome to join us as part of your family up the road that are worshipping the same God. It'd be really great to see you guys there if you ever feel like checking out another church as well as staying committed here and pushing here. The other thing is as well, on the 26th of November, well in advance, right, we're actually having, after our evening service at St John's, a bit of a get-together where there's going to be some pumpkin pie, some drinks and an opportunity to have fellowship together. We try and do something after our evening service once a term. I would like to, on behalf of St John's, invite you guys to join us on the 26th of November that evening, because we really are feeling at the moment that it's more important than ever to reach out to other churches and get to know people. So come along. We'd love to have you there. I'll ping Mike the details so that it can get announced again. But yeah, it'd be lovely to have you there. Can I just pray and then we'll dive into God's wonderful word together? Heavenly Father, Lord God, all you this morning, Father, we want all you. Father, we want to hear from your word and what you have to say for us, say to us. Lord God, I pray for the hearts of each person in this room, and I pray for those kids that are out doing an activity as well, and I think Sue leading them. Lord God, may your Holy Spirit flow through all of this. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So, Ruth chapter 2, if you want to find that on your phones or in your Bibles, that's what we're looking at, and I'm going to read it to you. This is one of my favourite types of talks to do, because we're digging right into the middle of a story in the Bible, a narrative in the Bible. Not that it didn't actually happen, it did actually happen, but this is like life story that we're looking at here. Let me read Ruth chapter 2 to you. Have we all got it? Yeah, we're all up to speed. Wicked. Okay. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you." And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. He ate all she wanted and had some left over as she got up to glean. Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and then threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. That's an ancient measurement, like quite a bit of grain, that is. That's what you need to know. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative, and he is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Wow, amazing story. I think the one thing we know at the start of this is Ruth clearly really fancies Boaz, and Boaz clearly really fancies Ruth, right? Boaz is going right out of his way here to do everything he can. He's like saying to all of the guys that work for him, "Make sure you're dropping grain for her, make sure that she's there, make sure that she comes and eats with us." He's making sure that she's not harmed in any other way. So we are right in the middle here at the very start. This is like the really good bit of a rom-com, or a really good bit of like a period drama, where Mr. Darcy walks in and she realises that he's not actually a pig. She actually thinks he's really nice. It's that kind of vibe, right? We're in the middle of a narrative. And narratives are really, really, really important in the Bible. They give us the tools to think with. Narratives give us the tools to think with. And we're going to think with this narrative today. But before that, I want us to take a look at our own narratives. I'm not really one for navel gazing, but we're going to do it just for a little bit. Okay, you've got your piece of paper and your pen. On there, I've done an example here, and that if you draw a line along the middle, these end lines are optional. You can add those if you want to. I felt that I would. You don't have to. And then at one end of the line, can you write the word giving? And at the other end of the line, sorry everyone, there you go. At the other end of the line, can you write getting or receiving? Good stuff. I'm going to name some areas of life. Everyone clear on that, right? Really simple. I'm going to name some areas of life, and I want you to, don't overthink it, right? That's the key to this. Don't overthink it. I want you to place the word I say on that line. depending on whether it's an area in your life that you are either getting more or giving more. Make sense? It's a scale of giving and getting. With me so far? Right, okay. Your marriage. No, I'm joking. Don't write anything about your marriage. Don't do anything about your marriage. Keep that to yourself. Play a simple game when it comes to your marriage. It's fine. Just talk, guys. Just talk. So work. And if you go to school, school. Are you giving or are you getting? Don't overthink it. How does it feel to you right now? Next one. Church. Are you giving or are you getting? Don't overthink it. How does it feel right now? Your friendships. Overall, are you giving or are you getting? It's a bit tricky, isn't it? You want to put everything in the middle, don't you? That's what I want to do when I do this exercise sometimes. Okay, good stuff. And the last one, your relationship with God. Be honest, how you're feeling. This isn't an exercise in the right answer. We all know that the right answer is to say, I feel like God gives me so much and I've got nothing to give back to him. That's the right answer to say. And it's actually theologically and biblically correct. That is true. And you can bring yourself back to the point where you feel that. But how are you feeling right now? Even if this exercise is admitting to yourself you might have a bad attitude, put it down, right? Just work it through. You see, life is about giving and getting, isn't it, in many ways. And what we've got here is we've got this amazing person called Ruth, who in the previous chapter, and I'm conscious we've dived right into the story, Ruth was a woman that was giving a lot. She was giving an awful lot. She'd been through a lot emotionally. This was a woman that had married a person, and that person had passed away, and she'd actively chosen to stay with her mother-in-law as what could be described potentially as a primary carer. You know, she was right there alongside her mother-in-law because she spotted this vulnerability in her mother-in-law's life that she would need help. And that required her, right, to uproot from her hometown and move back with her mother-in-law to a completely different place. She probably knew quite a bit about the culture because she'd been married to a Jewish guy. She kind of married into the nation of Israel, but she'd never experienced it actually living there. This was like massive change. This was like new school. This was new place of work. There's that new country, new kind of energy to your whole life. Everything was different for her, and she was giving and she was giving and she was giving. And the situation that she was in was a situation of hunger. And yes, I've come to speak to you today as the guy that runs Greenwich Food Bank, and that's one of the reasons that I chose this, because we see this all the time. People making decisions not in a controlled way, but in an instinctive, I need food kind of way. Truth is, Naomi, her mum, her mother-in-law, had moved away from Israel because there was a famine there. And then she went where there was food, over to Moab. And then she found that there was then famine there, and she's had to move back. This was a person whose life, regardless of the spirituality of everything, regardless of her nationality, regardless of who she was as a person, her decisions were basically based on one thing. Where am I going to get food? Where am I going to get this basic? One thing you learn when you work at a food bank is that you have to get beyond the initial reactions that you see in the people that need food. They're making instinctive decisions to go and get the food that they need. So would I if I need to feed my kids. So would you if you need to feed your kids. You get beyond that, and you know what you find? You find families like this. You find families like Naomi and Ruth behind there. Families like Naomi and Ruth that are broken-hearted. families like Naomi and Ruth that are closer than any families you meet anywhere else. They've been brought together by tragedy. Families that are capable of incredible levels of love. When you hear someone insult those who use food banks, don't let them do it. Remember Naomi and Ruth, because that's what I see all the time. And I can certainly say on Leanne's behalf, that's what Leanne in her work with Debt Centre Greenwich sees all the time. So we've got this family that are in need of food. And if you take a look at verse 2, they go to... It wasn't a Trussell Trust food bank, like Greenwich Food Bank, but it was their equivalent of a food bank. You see, what would happen is you would have harvesters that were working in the fields, gathering their grain, and according to the law of Israel, it was necessary to allow people who did not have their own fields, did not have their own harvest, to follow on behind and make the most of what they can find. Now, I don't know the last time you guys had, like, grain for dinner, right? You might think, wow, this is rubbish food that they are getting here. This is, like, basically some dusty little bits of corn or whatever. This actually was the stuff of life. In ancient Israel, in the ancient world, this was what you needed. And they would use it to make bread, is what they were going for. But not like bread that we have these days. This bread was packed with nutrition. It had all of these grains in. They would throw so much into this loaf so that it wasn't this kind of like gluten, gloopy stuff that we now eat that I have to avoid just in case my belly gets any bigger. But it was actually what you needed at that time. So what Ruth was going for here was she was looking to get the bare minimum of what her and Naomi needed. And they went, just like a food bank user, to the place that they knew they could get their practical needs met. And then there's this question in the story. I don't know if you picked up on it. I don't know if it kind of registered with you in 2023 as a question that really isn't very 2023. But Boaz asks in verse 5, take a look. Whose young woman is that? That's not a question you could ask at work these days, is it? Your equal opportunities policy is already flashing around. But what Boaz means in this is, who does Ruth belong to? Who do you think Ruth belongs to? Whose young woman is Ruth? She's not Jewish. She's not got a husband, which in those days she would have actually legally belonged to her husband. Who does she belong to in this moment? The person that she is living with, she's their primary carer. She's looking after them. Who does Ruth belong to? It's actually a great question, right? Who does Ruth belong to? In your giving and getting, who do you belong to in all this? In your life, who do you belong to? Have you written everything up the end of the scale of giving? And you look at everything in your life, you're like, well, I'm just giving, giving, giving. And then you place very little at the getting end. A lot of people live like that. A lot of people just give, 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 and they don't get enough. Who do those people belong to? Who do you belong to? Well, the answer, obviously, as we know, is we belong to God. Whether we realize it or not, whether Ruth realized it or not, whether Boaz realized it or not, for that matter, Ruth, in that moment, belongs to God. Take a look at verse 12, and we're just going to go through some snapshots from within this narrative. Boaz says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That image, I think, is beautiful. Ruth thought that she was moving with her mother-in-law to look after her mother-in-law. Ruth thought that she was moving to Israel because that's where the food was. People come to Food Bank because they think they're going to get some food, because they need some food. People go to Debt Centre Greenwich because they think they're going to get help. And they do. They do get that help. Just as Boaz met the practical needs, Boaz also, this guy that walks into his field every day and says, what was it? The Lord bless you. Oh no, the Lord be with you. That's what he shouts out in his field to his workers each day. And they get back to him and they say, the Lord bless you. That's what kind of guy Boaz is. See, he's a man that understands that there is more than just the practical needs of these workers in the field. And he tells Ruth in this moment that she has come to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. Now, this is a huge moment for Ruth. This is acceptance. This is, you're one of us. This is, you belong to God and he's going to protect you. Wherever your life's at on that giving and getting scale, this is true for you too. It's true for me as well. Earlier on this week, we had a bit of a moment at Greenwich Food Bank where I woke up to a WhatsApp message from a guy that runs one of our distribution centres, one of our welcome centres over in Plumstead, to say, the roof's broken, there's water everywhere, the whole church is soaked. Now, this is one of our biggest distributions of the week. Leanne's been there a lot. This is news to Leanne. But this is what happened, right? So I get this WhatsApp, and I'm reading it whilst my children are running around the house trying to get them out to school and that. My wife Chloe's talking to me about her day and all of that. And I see this WhatsApp, and I'm like, wow, this is a thing, right? We're going to have to get this sorted. On top of that, the day after, we had a day that we've been working toward for about 3 months now, where we had all of the major players for Greenwich Food Bank coming together for a really aspirational vision, values and strategy day, right? So you've got this big, we're moving forward, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Does it make sense? Are we going to do it well? What does God want us to do? Very important strategic question for Greenwich Food Bank day, which is great. And then we've got the cold hard reality of we now need to move a whole distribution centre and get that day done. I need, as the guy that has to run Greenwich Food Bank, to shelter under God's wings. You see, quite often people will see me as the person that runs Greenwich Food Bank as a bit of a Boaz character. The guy in the field that owns the field, that's making sure everyone's got what they need, that's making sure that the whole thing is running properly, walking around shouting, the Lord be with you, and people saying, bless you as well. That's not true. Running Greenwich Food Bank, I'm a Ruth. I'm just like those people that come to Greenwich Food Bank. I've got a life. I've got stresses and strains. I end up giving too much sometimes. Sometimes I forget to make sure I'm in a position where I can get. All of those things happen. And in that way, I'm no different to you. No different to the people that I chat to when they come into the food bank. No different to Ruth at all. You see, Ruth had sought to shelter Naomi under her wings. That's what Ruth was trying to do. She had said, if you look at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, She had said to Ruth, to Naomi, when Naomi had said, listen, I've hit hard times, I'm going to go home, you go back to your family, you make sure you shelter under the wings of your family. This is what Ruth says to her, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped bothering trying to tell her to go back to her parents. I'm going to talk to you about a Hebrew word now. Got a couple of teenagers at the back there. I know you love learning ancient Hebrew. I did when I was a teenager. I bet you can't wait for this point. But there's this word, hesed, right? You've got to know the word hesed if you're going to understand this story. Hesed is, I think, one of the most beautiful words in the whole of the Hebrew language. And it means loving, dedicated loyalty. It means sticking with people. It's that quality that every manager looks for in a good employee. It's that quality that every person looks for in a spouse. If you're dating a lot of girls, I'm sure you are, you're good looking lads at the back there, what you're looking for in a woman, I'm telling you now, is hesed, right? It is this loyalty. It is this beautiful staying with people-ness, right? And this word means all of those things. We don't have a word in our language that quite captures all of this. This is a story of hesed. And Ruth is amazing in her ability to show hesed to Naomi. And that's what Boaz sees in her. And he reminds her that actually that's what God is to her. I'm going to stick with you. You can shelter under my wings. And that's actually a word that is on my heart to bring here today in this moment. As I prepared, this is actually something that if I speak on this passage at other churches, and I am next week, I probably won't say this bit to them. Because this has really been on my heart. I think this is a word to be weighed by the leadership here. You guys give a lot as a community, as a church together. The beauty of this church, I've heard it described several times, not in ancient Hebrew this morning, but the beauty of what you guys have here as a church is hesed. You're in this together. You are like Ruth is to Naomi. You are like how God is to Ruth and to Naomi. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you should know that. Keep going with it. Whether you're giving loads, whether you're getting loads, hesed exists at both ends of the spectrum, no matter how you feel. We need to plow on. So Ruth has moved in her thinking. She's obviously said in those verses, oh, your God's going to be my God. But I don't think she realised just how much God loves her. Do you realise how much God loves you? Have you, on a religious level, decided, yep, that's going to be my God. I'm going to go to that church on a Sunday. And you're only just now discovering how much he loves you. We started actually today with a Psalm of David. Psalm 25, was it? Psalm 25. Ruth is David's great, great grandmother, I think. It might be great, great, or great, great, great. Basically, they're very closely linked. You see, what we've got in the story of Ruth is not just this kind of spark of romance between Boaz and Ruth. It's not just a new spark of hope in the life of Ruth and Naomi. There was a bigger picture, and that's why this is in the Bible. You see, this was actually a spark of eternal hope happening here. If this didn't happen on this threshing floor at this moment, then the line of Jesus himself would not have continued. It's a really important point when you're looking at the Bible. You've got to ask the question, why is this in the Bible? Why is it in the Bible? Why is this story between Ruth and Boaz and Naomi, this effectively, this love story in the Bible? Well, take a little look at chapter 4, verse 13 onwards. I'll read it to you. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. There you go. Good job, Boaz. That's what you get for using your field. You've managed to get Ruth interested in you. You've bagged the lady. Well done. She became his wife. Then he went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer." And we'll come back to that. "May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." In those days, son is interchangeable with grandson, right? So it's not Naomi's kid, it's Ruth's kid. But it's her son, her grandson. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, who wrote that psalm. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. Really, really important. You heard that phrase, kinsman redeemer, right? Keyword redeemer in that. It was actually Boaz's responsibility to, as the person within Ruth's family that had the means to do it and was related in a way to her that was not illegal, it was his job to make sure that Ruth was all right. And the way that you can do that is to marry the person that is destitute. It is a way in which you can bring someone back into the fold of the nation in a way that means they can be legally provided for. And with this, I'll close. What Ruth learns here is that to be under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, to be under the shadow of the wings of God, you need a redeemer. You can be really good with your mother-in-law. You can have chesed coming out your ears. You can be a hard worker that only takes one break in a whole morning's harvesting under the hot sun. You can be everything that Ruth was, who was a pretty exemplary character, wasn't she? She's pretty exemplary. But you're not going to work yourself to redemption. You're not going to be able to get to that point where you are fully under the shadow of the wings of your Heavenly Father. You need a redeemer. You need someone that can bring you from outside to inside. For Ruth, in her culture, that was Boaz. For us, in our life, it is Jesus. And only Jesus. You might already know that up here, and you might already know that here. You might have known it and felt it for years. But come back to your piece of paper. Come back to where you're at, your giving and your getting, the good and the bad of life, the difficulty and the struggle that life can be, the wonderful thing that life can be. Is Jesus your redeemer in all of this? Is he the one that you see in reality as the answer to your problems? Do you need to bring something to him this morning that you have not yet brought to him for him to redeem, for him to do work with? So there we go. Ruth. Incredible. One story, so much. And I could say so much more as well. In terms of food bank, as it's Food Bank Sunday, one of the things that we need, because you should always ask for something when you're running a charity, you get invited, you should ask for something. If you know anyone that's free between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. on a Wednesday evening that would be happy to drive a van, let Mike know and he'll let me know. Other than that, Greenwich Food Bank would like King Jesus to work on your heart. That's what we want this morning. When you see these food bank users and all they've got to teach us, when you hear their voice, isn't it incredible what we learn? Thank you so much for your support for Greenwich Food Bank. I always love coming here to chat to you guys. But most of all, first and foremost, seek Jesus in all of this. Amen.
Thank you, Jamie. It's one of my favourite stories in the Bible, both for Naomi. Let's just pray for Jamie. So if you'd like to just stand. Jamie, just want to come here. If you just put your arms out towards him. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for Jamie and what you have called him to be. We thank you, Lord, that he has that heart to serve, that he recognizes his station as Boaz, but he recognizes also that on his day-to-day basis, he's Naomi and Ruth out in the fields gathering the grain and serving the people. Father God, we pray protection over him. And Lord, we pray that you would bless him and his family and the work that he is doing. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the grain will continue to be there, that his cup would never run empty. And Lord Jesus, we pray for the food bank and for those that are using it. We pray, Lord Jesus, that lives will be transformed, that as we mentioned in Psalm 25, that they will not go in shame, but they would know that they have come to their kinsman redeemer to receive a blessing, that they may too be a blessing to other people. Lord Jesus, we honour you as the kinsman redeemer of Greenwich Food Bank. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us to give and to serve in many different ways. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless this project in this community and that people will be set free from the bonds of poverty. In your name, amen.